Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Elin Electronics Limited, hosted by JM Financial. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Rateria from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Faizan. A warm welcome to everyone for the 4Q FY23 earnings call of Elin Electronics. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Kamal Sethia, Managing Director, Mr. Sanjeev Sethia, Whole-time Director, Mr. Akash Sethia, Head of Strategy, and Mr. Raj Karan Chajak, Chief Financial Officer. At this point, I would like to hand over call to Mr. Sanjeev Sethia for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Gaurav. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sanjeev Sethia, and we also have on call today our Managing Director, Mr. Kamal Sethia. Mr. Akash Sethia looks at strategy, and our CFO, Mr. R.K. Chajak. Thank you very much for joining our earnings call for the quarter ended March 2023 and full year fiscal 2023. Coming to our overall performance for the fourth quarter, consolidated revenues for the quarter was at rupees 2,687 million against rupees 3,170 million in the same period last year. On a Q-on-Q basis, it was up from INR 2,023 million. We have maintained our gross margin in Q4 and improved it from 25.4% in FY22 to 25.9% in FY23. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 107 million against rupees 252 million in the same period last year. Consolidated profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 16 million against rupees 129 million in the same period last year. Decline in EBITDA and therefore profitability is because of some non-recurring and one-time expenses which are shared in the presentation on slide number 2. They include provision for warranty of rupees 15 million, provision for slow and non-moving inventory of rupees 30 million, one-time revenue expenditure on account of introduction of SAP at rupees 5 million, and legal and professional charges on account of IPO-related expenses of rupees 30 million. Let me just get into more detail. Provision for warranty is primarily on account of LED lighting business. Earlier, we were accounting for it via credit note as on as-is basis, but now we have decided to create a provision for the same on accrual basis. This 15 million is the effect of one-time true-up. Slow and non-moving inventory. We have now created a defined policy for the same. Inventory greater than 1 year is classified as non-moving and provided for at 60% for FG and 75% for raw material and WIP. Slow-moving inventory is defined as greater than 6 months but less than 12 months and provided for at 5% for the finished goods and 10% for raw material and WIP. Legal and professional charges pertain to IPO and related expenses and have been charged off to the profit and loss during the quarter. Adjusting for all the above, EBITDA of core business was at 6.9% and rupees 187 million in absolute terms. Our margin also tends to move in line with the concept of operating leverage. To explain this concept a little bit more in detail, this is particularly relevant for our employee cost. Skilled labor is kept on rolls, that's permanent, whereas unskilled and semi-skilled are on contract. Therefore, when demand drops and revenues are lower than anticipated, we cannot lay off skilled labor, thereby impacting the margin somewhat. Our liquidity position remains strong with net cash of INR 460 million as of March 2023. Regarding the balance gross debt of INR 778 million, we expect to repay it by end July or August 2023. As such, we expect finance costs to drop substantially in FY24. Our capex in FY23 was at INR 525 million. Let me give you a further breakdown of this. Please refer to slide 8 of the presentation for details. Land and building. We are creating additional 45,000 square feet space in Ghaziabad. This expansion will be completed by end of FY24 and revenues will start from FY25. Plant and machinery in the Ghaziabad factory accounted for INR 150 million split as SMT machines for LED lighting at around 47 million, for motors at around 33 million and around 51 million for the component business, which includes basically press and molded machines. And some utility-related capex was at INR 10 million. SMT machines were primarily for the connected business of Signify, which was expecting robust growth. Motors was for creating capacity of 50,000 AC ODU motors and a similar amount of auto-clean chimney motors. Plant and machinery at Basi accounted for INR 50 million, primarily for trimmers, heated hairbrush and sterilizers. Plant and machinery investments in Goa broadly was for the TPW fans. Electrical installations, INR 34 million was spent on acquiring a 33 kVA line and INR 23 million was spent for installing TNT gensets, as now in Delhi NCR, during certain months, you are not allowed to run diesel gensets. Tools, dies and molds represents investments in tools and molds for OEM and ODM business in motors and LED lighting. This is amortized over the life of the product. For OEM, this, if there is a sale which is less than the agreed number, the residual value of the investments in tools and molds are recovered by way of billing for those tools and molds. Other primarily investments represents capitalization of SAP and furniture and fixtures. A working cycle for FY23 has been maintained at net 65 days against 66 days in FY22. Broadly, each of the components of debtors, inventory and creditors is in line. Cash flow from operation has been strong and is up 9% from last fiscal at INR 623 million for FY23. Now I would like to share with you the performance and strategy in each of our businesses going forward. Please refer to slide 5 of the presentation. In lighting, fans and switch segments, the revenue for the quarter was at rupees 909 million against rupees 973 million. This was primarily driven by a reduction in revenue from the fans by INR 50 million. This was on the back of decline in business from ceiling fan, which was impacted by excess inventory in sales channel. This has since by and large been corrected and we expect gradual improvement in this from here on. We expect strong growth in the fan segment based on our new launches of the TPW fan and the BLDC fan. Please refer to slide 10 of the presentation for further details on these two products. Please refer to slide 6 of the presentation. In the small appliance segment, revenue reduced from rupees 834 million to rupees 700 million. This was primarily driven by a reduction in kitchen and home care revenues from rupees 619 million to rupees 448 million. This was primarily driven by a reduction in sales of mixer grinders of rupees 122 million and irons at rupees 38 million. Under high inflationary situation, customers tend to downtrade from a premium brand to a more affordable brand. Our customers are all in the premium range and as such our revenues have been affected substantially. To overcome this challenge, we are currently in the process of setting up an additional assembly line of mixer grinders in Ghaziabad, which will reduce costs as we expect saving on the packing freight of motors and also in the cost of, the end cost of shipping the product to our customers, as most of them are based in Delhi NCR region, helping us to attract more entry and mid-range brands. We are in discussion with leading brands for this. While this exercise is expected to be completed by September 2023, but expect full benefit of this to come only in FY24. We expect strong growth in FY24 on the back of new launches in several new categories of small appliances. We have, of course, done this based on initial discussion with customers who we intend to sell to. Another point worth noting is the cumulative market size for EMS companies for three new categories, that is the chimneys, OTGs, and the OFR heaters, at combined 2,000 crores, which is a fairly sizable market and which we intend to enter in the next 6 to 8 months. Further details on the product and timelines for the same are available on slide 10 of the presentation. Please refer to slide 7 of the presentation. In the FHP motor segment, revenue were down from rupees 645 million to 464 million, primarily driven by reduction in revenues from the fan category of motors by 162 million. The decision of moving the final assembly of mixer grinder and hand blender from Badli to Ghaziabad should help in captive consumption of motors as well, thereby driving increased MG mixer grinder motor manufacturing. We are entering the air conditioned market with suppliers of ODU motor expected in Q2 of FY24, a capacity year at 50,000 per motor. We also expect the sale of chimney and therefore chimney motors should increase post increase of custom duty on chimneys from 7.5% to 15% in the budget. We are already seeing the increased sales of chimney motors as part of this, the custom duty increase. For chimney motors also, our capacity is at 50,000 motors per month, and currently we are utilizing approximately 40 to 45% of this capacity. Expect this to improve to about 70% by end of year. Overall, Q4 23 has been a challenging quarter for us. While we are seeing green shoots of recovery compared to a Q-on-Q basis, demand seems to be tepid and overall consumption on the weaker side. Accordingly, for the full year FY24, we expect a revenue growth in the range of low to mid-teens with an EBITDA of 7 to 7.5%. Demand is still a bit slower than anticipated, and we expect a full recovery perhaps by H2 of this year. We would like to draw the attention of our investors to certain key strategic initiatives which we have taken. Details are on slide 9. Introduction of SAP. We expect to drive inventory reduction as well as saving in manpower costs based on real-time data availability. Installation of a 33 kVA line at our Ghaziabad facility, which is expected to drive savings of INR 6 lakhs per month, as well as help in controlling wastage and scrap because of uninterrupted power supply. Hiring of a process consultant to streamline labor costs. We have hired Mr. Kannan, a 30-year veteran of the auto industry, to help us streamline our operations. And this initiative has already been started, and we have an aim to at least have a 3% saving in our labor costs. We have hired Mr. Jagdeep, more than 17 years of industry experience in product design to help drive our ODM revenue growth. And as I mentioned earlier, we are getting into three new categories on ODM in terms of the OFR, the oven, and the chimney, which are high-ticket numbers where each product costs around 2,700 to 3,000. So, it will help us drive our revenues. And here we have Mr. Jagdeep helping us design and implement these products. Also in the process of hiring and sales and marketing heads to get new customers and drive overall revenue growth. Broadly, idea is to drive capacity utilization, sweat our assets more, thereby improving asset turns, improve margins through all avenues possible, and therefore drive up ROCE. We continue to make strong investments in our business and have a high conviction in it. We remain committed to drive value for our customers and shareholders alike. Thank you.
With this, I think we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Tanika Agarwal from Green Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Very good evening, sir. I have a couple of questions. So firstly, I would like to ask that
Ms. Agarwal, the audio is not clear. Please increase the volume of your device.
Is it better now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So my first question is that out of the 88 crores that was estimated for repayment of debt out of the IPO proceeds, the company has utilized only approximately 29.5 crores. So what is the rationale behind the same?
Hi, Kanika. This is Akash. Let me just explain that. So the whole point is that, you know, our debt is maturing at different points in time. So, you know, if we prepaid the entire amount of debt just post completion of the IPO, there were some prepayment penalties involved. At that point in time, also what we noticed was that you know, if we make a FD of this amount, the rate between, you know, what we were getting and what we were paying was not more than 15 basis points. So the idea was, since the prepayment penalty was much higher, the idea was, you know, we'll just create an FD and we will prepay the debt once, you know, the lock-in on the prepayment penalty is gone. We expect to complete the entire payment of debt sometime in July or August of 2023. So in a month or so from now as things stand today. Hope that's clear.
Yeah. Okay. And also I would like to ask a similar question regarding the CAPEX also. Like, we have not utilized the full amount of 37.5 CR towards the proposed CAPEX. So what was the reason behind that?
No, so that is also, it's not, I mean, it's not like we don't intend to, you know, utilize that. We fully intend to do so. It's just that it will happen, you know, over the course of, like we had mentioned in the RHP, it was meant to be done over the course of 2 years. It will be utilized absolutely as per plan over the next, you know, whatever, kind of 18 months from now.
The company has some plans towards utilizing this amount of CAPEX.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right. 33%
increase. Sorry, Ms. Agarwal, the audio is breaking from your line, ma'am. Please use the handset mode.
Okay. We have also seen that there is a 33% increase in consolidated depreciation for this quarter. So, like, what has caused this substantial increase in the depreciation expenses?
So let me just take you through that. One is, of course, the increase in account of CAPEX that we have done. So CAPEX for the year is approximately 52 crore rupees. So there is a natural, CAPEX and depreciation kind of go, you know, hand in hand. So one part is that. Also, there is a 1 crore rupees, or 10 million rupees, impact of impairment that has been taken in this quarter based on audit advice. So based on these two, depreciation has seen, an increase to, I think, overall for the year, close to 18 crore rupees.
Okay, got it. All right. My other question is, like earlier, when we had spoke with the management, management has decided for doubling the sales revenue by FY26. So are we still sticking to the same?
Look, I think our target honestly would be to probably, achieve it sooner rather than later. But I think, where we stand today, consumption looks a little bit weak. More than the guidance that we've given, what we've guided for is low to mid-teen, kind of growth in revenue. We absolutely stand by that and we are confident of that. But given, the slight, weakness in consumption, it is very hard to give guidance for, 2 to 3 years out. But rest assured, we are putting our money where our mouth is. We are investing in our business. We are looking at hiring the right people to drive revenue growth. So we do intend to kind of grow our business and I mean, do it sooner rather than later, but giving a specific guidance at this point in time may be, you know, counterproductive.
Okay, sir. And also, if you look at the sales of the subsidiary companies for quarter 3 and quarter 4, then there has been a 100% jump in the number. So I just wanted to, like, understand what has driven the sales to jump up by 100% for the subsidiary company?
Look, so two things, right? So the subsidiary manufactures small appliances, right? The small appliances division, by and large, resides in the subsidiary. There are two kind of, you know, reasons for this. One is, you know, there was post-Diwali last year, sales had dropped, you know, very substantially, you know, because there was kind of excess inventory that had built up in the channels as sales did not pick up at that point. As, you know, those inventories have cleared out, you know, there has been some sort of sales comeback. Like we said, there is a marked improvement on a quarter-on-quarter basis, although on a year-on-year basis, there is still some sort of tepid demand. That is point one. Point two also is that we have introduced, you know, a new product, which is trimmers. So trimmers, you know, while it started only in the month of December 2022, the full kind of benefit of that has only come in quarter four. So I think the number for quarter four for trimmers is close to four or four and a half crore rupees. So therefore also there is, you know, some amount of delta in the small appliances segment. Trust that clarifies.
Okay. And so for the increase in PP&E for the subsidiary company also relates to the CAPEX regarding small appliances only?
Madam, I couldn't hear you. Can you just speak a little bit louder?
Like if you compare the PP&E for the subsidiary company, then the for FY22 and 23, so there has been an increase by more than around 6 crores. So like what does this amount of 6 crores relate to? Is it regarding the CAPEX done towards the small appliances segment or?
Yes, that is right. Like, you know, Mr. Sanjeev Sethia alluded to in his opening remarks, this is basically, if you look at our presentation also, this basically falls under the plant and machinery on the Baddi, Baddi plant, which is you know, approx 5.5 crore rupees, which is primarily for trimmers, for which has already come into revenue in FY23, and on account of heated hairbrush and electric sterilizers, which are due to come into revenue in FY24. For heated hairbrush and sterilizers, we will probably see revenues come in Q2 and Q3 of this year. So obviously, as you understand, you know, CAPEX is front-loaded. So therefore, the CAPEX has come in, but revenues will, you will start seeing seeing revenues on this account in the subsequent quarters.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering the question. I'll move back to the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nirav Vasa from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, for FY23, our revenue was close to 838 crore rupees. Would it be possible for you to give a breakup as customer-wise, which were our top five customers' revenue breakup?
Sure. So, firstly, I think the revenue that you're talking about is only for the EMS division, which is 838, you know, crores. The total revenue for the company is 1,075. There's just one. Second, just in terms of customer names, I think, you know, probably the top five would be Signify, which you know, contributes to our lighting and fans business. Then would be, you know, a company called Versuni, which is essentially, you know, Philips domestic appliances. The company has been rebranded to Versuni post-takeover by, you know, the Chinese private equity firm Hill House Capital. Then would be, you know, Philips India, which, you know, has, houses the personal care business of brand Philips. Then would be Havells. We sell a range of, you know, motors to Havells. And then fifth would probably be IFB, where we sell, you know, a range of precision components to them, primarily you know, the front fascia of the washing machine. So I think these would be, you know, some of our top five customers.
And sir, in FY23, especially in the second half, what we have seen is the demand compression was there across the board, whether it was lightings or fans or small appliances or everything. So in that scenario, and there was also a significant commodity volatility as well. So in that scenario, how difficult was for you to increase the commodity prices and pass it on? And how does the trajectory look going forward on it?
To your second point on the passing of prices, let me direct your attention to slide 4, where if you look at the cost of material consumed, it has broadly remained in line. And if you look at it on an annual basis, we have only gotten better. Mr. Sanjeev Sethi had alluded to in his opening remarks, we have not only been able to maintain our gross margins for the year, we've been able to improve it by 50 basis points. So we are very, very, kind of clear on our business model that RM prices are a pass-through for us. Although sometimes it happens with a lag of a month or a quarter, but we are very, very firm on this. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So if you look at our gross margins, you can see that, you know, they have been, maintained and even improved. Right? That's your point on, passing of costs. To your earlier question, I think, the second half of the year, yes, I think, we have seen some sort of, weakness in consumption and demand. Although I think what I would like to point out is that, hopefully, I think, the worst of the demand, at least for us, hopefully has been done in Q3, because from Q3, we've seen a 33% increase in revenue. I'm not saying that the demand weakness has completely gone away, but green shoots of recovery are visible to us in select pockets, and we hopefully, in our view, we should see a recovery sometime in the second half of this year. I think this is based on the data that we have in hand. Right? Hope that answers your question.
Yes, that was quite helpful. The other question is with regards to entry into newer categories, which you are trying to which you are planning to get into, which is especially around chimneys and high value added kitchen appliances. So in these categories, who are the OEMs which we are targeting, and typically how much time is needed to get mandatory certifications after which we get our maiden order and then the scale up happens?
Sanjeev, I'll take that. So as far as OFR is concerned, we have, Havels, Crompton, Bajaj, Usha, and Philips Appliances as our target customers. Out of this, we have already finalized an order with one of our customers, and we are very hopeful that we will be able to add more customers, just for the simple reason is that we'll be the first company which will completely manufacture the OFR heaters in India. Currently, maybe some people import the tank assembly and do an SKD kind of business, but we'll be making it completely locally. So, our chances of getting all four of our target customers are fairly high, and we already have one customer with which we have an agreement in place. For the ovens, again, it's basically the same set of customers. Here, it's a complete ODM model. Our idea is that we have already started the design and manufacturing for this. And once it's ready, by end of October, we will be giving samples to our customers. Preliminary discussions have already happened, and we have some interest from Bajaj and Philips in this category. Chimney is another category. I mean, even though we are not into chimney manufacturing, as manufacturers of chimney motors, we are in this line for quite some time now. And we see a very healthy increase in the demand for chimney motors. As part of our natural extension, since motors contribute to a fairly high amount of the bill of material and are given our prowess and strength in sheet metal manufacturing, we thought it's a very natural progression for us to make the complete product. We have started some preliminary discussions with a few customers, nothing short, but this product is planned for 25. So we still not finalized the customers, but we are in the design stage. And once the prototype is made, then we will approach our customers, and maybe we can also approach one of our existing customers' favor who, if they want to, you know, offload some of the low-end chimneys, so we could approach them for this.
Sir, one more question is, what we are seeing is that, especially in a lot of contract manufacturing space, there is a lot of export traction coming in with China Plus One getting implemented. How do we see exports as a growth lever?
We are looking at exports of some lighting products, which we are already doing, but it's happening through Signify. Earlier, it was Sri Lanka. We were exporting downlights, but unfortunately, with the Sri Lanka story going south, I mean, things have kind of slowed down a little bit. We have started some exports again to Signify Philippines. They are looking at India as a, you know, China, as part of the China Plus One strategy for both solar as well as low-cost downlights. There have been number of discussions, but not any substantial movement on the, you know, on the ground has not really happened. I believe probably China is still a little cheaper than us. But there are talks, so currently I would say that we are looking at low-cost downlights and certain office panels as part of export to Signify, you know, markets in Europe and US. But at the same time, we are also focused in, you know, being more of an import substitution to our existing customers and offering them solutions where they are currently importing. So if you see OFR, OTGs, there's a very high import content. So we believe that to begin with, this is a much easier business to crack as to, you know, get hold of the local demand and offer them an import substituted product. Chimneys, again, if you look at the numbers, you know, it was practically more than 60-70% imports, but that's changing very drastically. So we believe that's another fantastic opportunity to come in as a, you know, to as a local supplier. So I would say as a company right now, the focus is more in how somehow capturing the Indian market. And wherever we get opportunities with respect to our existing customers to cater to their, let's see, overseas locations, I mean, we are exploring those opportunities also.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soumitra Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So the first question is, and it will be slightly a rant, so please bear with me. So from the beginning, the first part was when the IPO was coming across different business channels, there were certain intimations given of how the company going to perform. Then last quarter, we had a poor result. And there also the guidance on a conservative basis, the term conservative was used, was given of being 30 plus. And now, suddenly it has been reduced to, let's say, a mid-teen guidance. So if you see the trajectory, things have just been going downhill since the IPO. So one thing is, I don't know what kind of an image it creates about the organization as such, because these are not numbers that we had quoted. These are numbers that are coming from the organization and the management. So those numbers first, can we have some comment on why everything is going downhill and where do we see a trajectory turn? And are we ever going to reach to that region of 30 plus growth or the numbers that were quoted for FY26 in terms of doubling of revenue? That's the first part. The second part is, while we look at the EMS, I know the sections are different in where different people operate. You could see that a lot of people are giving pretty decent results. Obviously, lighting has been subsided for others also. But we are also losing basically new work with competition, or basically competition in the sector really heating up. That can be another reason for the guidance continuously going down.
Okay, let me first address the, you know, first part of your question. which is about the cut in guidance. We stand by the fact that, you know, we had spoken about a 30% kind of number. That was very transparently basis the data available with us at that point in time. What has happened since then, which is approximately 3 months, is that certain new products that were due to come into the market because of the weakness in the consumption in general in the market, those launches have been deferred by the brands, right? I can give you an example. A case in point is that of our TPW fans. So, you know, TPW fans were due to come in sometime in the second half of January. You know, it got delayed to, pushed out, in fact, to April. And finally, now we have gotten the product release, and it will probably come into revenue sometime in the first week of June. The product release is now with us. These are things, you know, frankly, that are beyond our control because, you know, we are communicating with you basis the data available at that point in time. That said, as a responsible management, we feel it is our duty to give you the correct picture as we see it at any given point in time. So given that, you know, today we are not seeing, you know, a possibility of a 30% growth in revenue, we feel it is only fair, you know, to you as an individual investor, even an institutional investor, that we, you know, share the real picture as we see it. I will just pause here. If you have any further queries on this part, happy to address. Otherwise, I can take up the second part of your question.
Yeah, no, so where I was coming from, so if you realize that the IPO in itself and the investors going through either the IPO or coming after the IPO and putting in an amount, there is a certain level of trust basis which those investments happen. And if you see, I'm not even talking about, so one is the guidance part where obviously it's the business aspect of it. If you look at it from the performance of the company also, you would have realized that it hasn't been great because it has been reflecting how the business has been doing. So I think there is a certain responsibility towards the shareholders also, right, that needs to be incorporated. Now, are you saying that these are things are so dynamic in this business that 3 months on, probably you can come back with a lower guidance also?
Look, we hope that is not the situation. We've already factored in, you know, some amount of buffer in our guidance. But that said, look, Sumitra, if you're asking, is this cast in stone? No, it is not.
Where I am coming from is last time also it was conservative. Now, conservative means that everything has been taken into account. Now, I am saying, can it be that next quarter also that the guideline can be revised downward?
It could be revised downward. It could be revised upward. It's very, like I said, it's very hard for me to give you. Look, I could take the easy way out and just have said that, you know, I'm not going to give any guidance. Please also, while I hear you and, you know, I understand you and empathize with you, but please also put yourself in my shoes. I can always take the easy route out and just say, you know, I'm not going to give any guidance. But that is not, you know, what, you know, good management is known for. We would hope that, you know, since the IPO things have not exactly gone as we planned. But that said, you know, we do still believe that, you know, we are a good management. We are running a good company that has strong fundamentals. And we hope that, you know, while, you know, initially there has been, you know, some speed bump and things haven't gone as planned. But over the medium to hopefully sooner than the medium term, things will start going our way. And I mean, that is what I would like to leave it at in terms of this question. I hope this this kind of explains our position at least.
Mr. Joshi, does that answer your question?
I'm sorry, it's not very convincing, but yeah, you can move on to the next question, please.
Sure. So as regards your second question, your question, if I understand it correct, is that in the non-lighting part of the business, you are asking about us losing market share vis-a-vis the competition. Is that a correct understanding of the question?
It can be losing market share. So basically, is the competition eating up and other players also getting actively into this particular business? And that is why probably newer contracts, there is greater competition and hence growth can be an issue with respect to that. That is what I was asking. So more or less you've understood it, yeah.
Sure. See, my reading is that while the space obviously remains competitive, there are very few companies in the areas that we are of, that are of our size and scale, right? So lighting, like you mentioned, if you look at, you know, for example, a Dixon, which also reported results, you would have seen, you know, the lighting business contract even there. If you look at, for example, the small appliances space, you look at results of any of the big, big brands, you know, who we manufacture for, whether it be Havells or Polycab or Crompton or, any of the, you know, main ones.
Yes.
Philips, of course, is unlisted, but we know the situation there. So all of them, you would have seen, have reported, across the board kind of weakness in their appliance results, right?
Appliance.
So while, you know, some of these are very large companies and they have multiple divisions, but if you go and look through, their appliance numbers, all of them have reported a weak set, which in turn, is kind of passing down to companies such as ours, right? So our view is that while the space remains competitive, yes, this is more an industry phenomenon, not so much, us particularly, doing something wrong. This is how I see it.
So just considering that since a lot of time has passed in this quarter also, and I think the picture for at least this quarter would be clear, can we say that things have bottomed out?
Bottomed out from the sense it will be similar to Q4 is how we see it, right? If that's what you're asking, more than that, you also understand, I cannot give you specific.
No, correct. That's fine. So I was just looking at from whether things have bottomed out or not. So it's like that clarity in itself is not there, that whether things have really bottomed out or there might be a further.
We mentioned in our opening remarks that the things as we see it, a full recovery looks likely in H2 of this year. We mentioned this in our opening remarks. I don't know whether I can use the term bottomed out, certain segments of the business are seeing a decent amount of traction, while some portions of the business still remain a little bit stagnant. What I can say is that, to overcome, a lot of these challenges, if you look at some of the initiatives we've taken, some of it we've detailed out in our investor presentation, most of them rather. I think that should, provide you a detailed view of the steps that we are taking to correct the situation of this weakness in demand.
Sure.
So thank you, and I thank you once again for your support.
And thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of C.A. Varun Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I really appreciate the way patiently you are answering all the retail investors' questions. So this guidance which we are giving of low to mid-teens for FY24, we have new product launches also lined up for this year. So do we also incorporate that in this guidance, or this is only for the old products?
No, this is for the guidance of the company as a whole. One point I just want to make on the new product launches. So, a lot of these product launches that are happening in Q2 and Q3, this talks about the time when the first revenue hits. Typically, from the time the first revenue hits, it typically takes another quarter or so for things to ramp up and then stabilize. So, for example, if I intend to sell, 50,000 units of fans on a steady state basis, You know, typically in the first quarter that I start, the number would probably be, you know, 20-30-40% of that, and then there is a ramp towards, you know, the 100% planned, you know, sale. So it is not like if I plan to sell, you know, 50,000 units in the first month itself, I'm able to achieve that. So please do bear in mind that a lot of the new launches that I've seen, the full benefit or impact of that is probably seen in the launch quarter plus 1 or 2 quarters, right? So therefore, the guidance that we are giving incorporates this into account that, you know, once you launch a product, it typically takes a quarter or two to achieve, you know, stabilized revenues from that. Hope it's clear.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. And the next question is, there's a... It's mentioned in the presentation that one of our customers is making the table fans in-house, and that is one of the reasons we lost a part of the revenue. Sorry?
I said we mentioned that one of our customers is making table fan motors in-house, not the table fans per se.
Okay. So is this a normal phenomenon in our business, or this is the first time we are seeing this?
Look, it's the first time that we are seeing such a thing. This also, look, what happens is all of the customers or most of the customers have some in-house capacity, right? So what they typically do is that, you know, once the in-house capacity is more or less breached, the additional capacities then go to, you know, third-party manufacturers. Now, in a time like this, you know, when you see demand contraction, you know, probably the focus of the customer is that, you know, they want to utilize their in-house resources first, and therefore there has been a cut in business to us. So that is the situation. It's honestly the first time that we are seeing this. We remain in dialogue with them to get part of the business, you know, back to us. But just like I said, just in the spirit of transparency, we've just put the factual position out in the presentation.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Do any of our products belong to the defense sector or used in the manufacturing of mobile phones? Or in future, do we plan to enter these categories?
As things stand today, we do not supply to any of the sectors that you've spoken about. As regards the near future meaning another year or 18 months from today, it is unlikely we will enter those sectors. Regarding the medium term, honestly, I mean, you can never say never, right? So,
We have started making provisions for the slow-moving inventory. We belong to a category business where we are manufacturing on order basis for our customers. So for finished goods, why will we have slow-moving inventory?
Look, I mean, it's not only for finished goods. Finished goods also represent motors for us, right? I mean, motors is also like kind of a finished good. It sometimes, you know, does tend to happen, and this is particularly true in something like our lighting business where, you know, there is some amount of stock left over from a product that that is past its shelf life, right? So in the lighting business, you would be aware that, you know, there are new SKUs that come in regularly. And sometimes, you know, the older SKUs that are past the shelf life, you know, there is a certain amount of stock that is available with us. This is the first time that we've just created a defined policy for provisioning. Earlier, we were doing it probably a little bit on a as-is, where-is kind of basis. But given the fact that, you know, we intend to, you know, kind of be a responsible corporate citizen, we just thought of, you know, kind of creating a defined policy for this. And we've put it out very transparently, the entire policy also. Mr. Sanjeev Sethi had alluded to the provisioning requirement in his opening remarks. And that is, so this is again, this is firstly, this is a non-cash item. Secondly, this is a one-time kind of impact of true-up, right? So on an ongoing basis, you know, going forward, I mean, I don't expect much impact on the account of provisions for warranties as well as slow and non-moving inventory.
Yes, I like the fact that we are going this conservative basis and clearly communicating with the investors in the presentation. So thank you and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratap Maliwal from Mountain Draw Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hi, and thanks for taking my question. So I just wanted to ask, can you provide some maybe volume data? Like last quarter, we had said that we made around 25,000 pieces of mixer grinders for the December quarter. So can you give us an update on the volume data for some of our offerings?
Sure. Let me give you, you want the volume data for the quarter or for the year?
For the year or for the quarter, for the year preferably.
Okay, I can give you the volume data for the year as well. So for the full year, for mixer grinders, we've done 4.02 lakhs. So 4.02 lakh units of completed mixer grinders. We've done more than 13 lakh units of hair dryers. We've done close to 6 lakh units of hair straighteners. We've done more than close to 21 lakh units of irons. And we've done about 2.5 lakh odd units of trimmers. I mean, does that help?
Yes. Can you just benchmark it with the previous year, maybe? Previous year number, FY22?
Sure. So, mixer grinder, the previous year number was close to 5.75 lakh. It's now close to 4 lakh. Hair dryers was 9 lakh. It is up to 13 lakh. Hair straighteners were close to 7 lakh. It is down to 6 lakh. Irons were below 20 lakh. It is more than 21 lakh right now. Trimmers were obviously not there last year. It is a new product.
Okay, thank you. And I just wanted to ask that in the previous quarter, we said that we'd be expecting around 16-17% growth on the new products with a revenue potential of about 200 crores. So is there any update on that number now?
Look, like we've mentioned, we've obviously cut down, the guidance given earlier. So the earlier guidance was 30% overall with close to 16-18% coming from new products. And I mentioned that, a big part of the guidance cut is on account of the deferment of new products by the brand. So while, I don't want to get into specifics, but, you can assume that a big chunk of the new products that I was alluding to earlier, which was 200 crores, is a big part of the guidance is driven from the new product deferment.
Okay. And just one more point around that customer who was insourcing the fan motors. I just missed that point also. Can you just help me understand, have you bought that customer? Have those revenues from that customer gone to zero now?
No, it's not gone to zero. They are still buying from us. Like I said, it's not like, they've gone to zero and they've completely shifted in-house. No, most of our customers are not setting up new additional capacities for the products that we make. So it's not like, once demand does come back and nothing lasts forever, so the demand will come back sooner than later. They will come back to us. So this is, we believe, a temporary phenomenon. Now, like I said, we are in talks with them already to recover back, some portion of the temporary business loss. We will probably be, providing an update on this in the next quarter's call.
Okay. Can you just help me understand what quantum of revenue was our exposure to the insourcing?
We've mentioned that in the investor presentation. It was down from about 20 crores to close to 7 odd crores. So it was a dip of, 13 odd crores.
Okay. Thank you for taking my question. Best of luck with the quarter going ahead.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Neil from Gajra Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My question is regarding what is the order book for the 23-24 for OEM and ODM customers?
Sir, we don't have the concept of an order book. What our customers share with us is what is called an annual operating plan that is non-binding in nature. So it is merely indicative, to help us plan our resources accordingly. So given the fact that it is non-binding, it is not in the nature of an order book. As typically is for the next, you know, two, three months or for a quarter or so.
Okay, and all the major players are taking part in the PLC. What's the part you have taken, your company has taken till now?
We have applied and selected for PLI and lighting. So that is the only, you know, relevant kind of PLI.
So what is the amount of investment in PLC for this?
We've committed to 10 crore rupees.
Sorry?
We've committed to an investment of 10 crore rupees, 100 million rupees.
Okay. And any other plan? Future plan for PLI?
I mean, if there is a PLI that comes up in, you know, any of our business segments, of course, we would be interested.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I think we have time for maybe one or two last questions. So, I mean, happy to take one or two last questions if you have any.
Yes, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Apurva Sharma from RAS Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for taking my question, sir, and I really appreciate you answering all the questions with such generosity. I just wanted to understand the demand scenario. Am I supposed to infer this correct that we have a spike in demand during the festive season?
For the small appliances segment, there is a spike in demand ahead of the festive season. So typically Diwali, which is the festive season in India, so assuming it happens in November, I think this year Diwali is in November, so there will be a spike typically, you know, July, August, September, October, that period typically there is a spike, most definitely, yes.
Okay, my second question is, sir, in last call discussion, there was a specific part where, for example, an X number of dealer has anticipated demand of 1,000 units of some small appliances, example, mixer grinder. And during the festive season itself, but the demand that actually came was around 500 to 600. So if this amount of deviation is going to happen during the festive season, what is there to believe that in the next festive season, we won't have the same scenario?
I mean, look, you know, the way I would like to answer this question is, you know, we are entrepreneurs, we are not crystal ball gazers. So it is very difficult for me to give you, you know, a direct answer. Of course, what I can say is that, number one, we don't work with dealers. We work with the big OEMs or the big brands. So their, you know, market research, more often than not, I would say, is on point. You know, it is very frankly one of the first few times that we are seeing this kind of a slump in market demand. We've never really experienced this kind of thing before. That said, you know, even during this time, you know, we mentioned in the presentation as well, we've been able to contain inventory to a respectable level. Our working capital cycle pretty much is intact compared to last year. And like I said, sooner than later, this demand situation is going to, you know, sort itself out. Given the investments that we are making in the business, given some of the initiatives which you've detailed out in the presentation, we expect to be a strong beneficiary of demand revival once it's back. That's what I can say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Utrani for closing comments.
Yes, I would like to thank everyone in management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. Now hand it over to management for their closing remarks, if any. Post that we could conclude the call. Thank you.
I think we said at the beginning of the call, you know, we are continuing to make investments in our business. We have a very, very high conviction in it. And we are committed to driving, you know, values for our shareholders and our customers alike. Thank you for staying shareholders and look forward to seeing you all reap good rewards in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.